Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the We Speak Radio Network, and I am your host, Shelley Caldwell. For today's show, we are excited about the information that we have gathered since yesterday's show, and for those of you who have been listening, I certainly want to say for those by way of Twitter, and of course taking part in the Facebook dialogue, we have been constantly keeping our ears open and, of course, our eyes peeled to the news and of course, keeping up with the resources that are out there as far as other journalists that are following the stories concerning the Penn State case against Coach Sandusky and as well as the firing of Coach Joe Paterno. We are excited today about the additional information that we're going to bring that will heighten your awareness and bring you into a place of where you should at least feel compelled to begin opening up the lines of communication in your home with your children. I would like to say to everyone over in the chat room joining me today that I appreciate your support, everyone online and social media. Again, thank you so much for the interesting dialogue. What I will do today, though, is let you know that a lot of this today will be information, and the information is information that I've gathered because I believe that we can talk a whole lot on Facebook and our social media platforms, but one thing that we fail to do sometimes is make sure that we are gathering up the tools that we need to fight to really be abreast of what next. What do we do next? Where do we go next? What's the next step for me to take in order to make a difference in whatever the issue may be of the week or for the month or after a big, you know, news issue breaks or something happens major in our lives that affects our communities and also hits home to our families. Where are we when it comes to actually taking a part in doing something about it? And so today's show, and the reason I started it even yesterday, was because of the information and the responses that I was getting on Facebook and the dialogue that was coming in by way of Twitter and the you know, the fans and supporters of the We Speak Association, whether you are a supporter of the She Speaks Association. Of course, women are really sounding off about it a little bit more so than men, but even those who support He Speaks Association, I appreciate those of you as well in very high positions who have done their research, and also some of my friends who work in male mentoring roles, as well as some friends who work in some societal reentry programs with the government. on a local level. I'm grateful for all of you who I believe have fully supported not only what you do locally. I heard from some of my friends in North Carolina who are part of the national coalition, actually the North Carolina branch of the Coalition Against Sexual Assault, as well as other friends and old high school friends that are now leaders of bowling groups and other groups that are geared towards mentoring young men and young women and reaching out to them socially to bring, I feel like, a greater sense of awareness and commitment. And not only that, but just family, where family is in need. And, of course, our family structure is breaking down here in the United States. So I want to say to you that today was a matter of saying, you know what, Shelly, you got to do your part. And in doing your part, it's not about all the calls coming in. It's not even about if I feel the phone lines up in the chat room up today. It is about doing my part in gathering some information, little to none, but gathering information that I believe is sound, and also sharing it with those who support me in the efforts of opening up the communication reservoir, if you will. And the reason I say a reservoir is because it's been held up, held back. It's not something that we have a great sense, I don't think we have taken a great sense of pride in communication. We've really taken a back seat on it, especially in our families, because of fearing that our children will be more or displaced even the more, because they will get upset, embarrassed, ashamed to talk about it, or just pretty much feel like we have no right to ask them or talk to them about some issues that are concerning and related to sex. I think we see enough about drug campaigns, AIDS campaigns, Say No to Sex, AIDS as far as Wrap It Up and you know, sexual protection with condoms and so forth, you know, even tobacco and cigarette smoking for that matter. But good grief, after this week, the Penn State case, I feel like should compel you to do the necessary. And as far as I'm concerned, heck, do the minimum, you know. Do the minimum of opening up your mouth, call in family dinner, put some chicken on the stove, cook some collard greens. Come on, y'all. Let's talk about this heart-to-heart, and let's really just put the cards on the table. You know, call a spade, and do what we need to do to bring our children into a place of awareness and let them know that we love them as parents, that we love them as aunts, uncles, grandmothers, grandfathers, whatever the case is. Because sadly, what we're finding out and what you're going to find out today is, if you did not follow the show on yesterday, we had an overwhelming response yesterday, you're going to find out that the percentage of sexual predators are 90% of those who have been the ones victimizing our children, that 10% are strangers. And that's where we ended yesterday. Stranger danger is what they call it and label it. And so I want to share with you today, we're going to take a real quick look at where we left off yesterday. As I said previously, Dr. Phil came on Anderson 360, and he had four articles that I wanted to share with you. But this one in particular, as we again look at this as the root from the Penn State case, teaching your kids about stranger danger, how Coach Sandusky had, of course, established and or utilized his, I feel like, sadly, his safety net and cover-up through the organization, the Second Mile, where he actually was grooming the children that he actually victimized. And so with that, let's start on the Dr. Phil article where I left off yesterday. I believe I read to you about the warning signs when it comes to internet warnings with your children on the internet. And if I have time today, what I will do is go back to that one. But I want to start out, and again, it's drphil.com. You can click on his Dr. Phil's Advice tab, Dr. Phil's Advice, and then go to Parenting. Or you can very simply search his search bar. Is right there, and you can type in stranger danger, or in Parenting, you'll find a list of his articles. And so this one says, teach your kids about stranger danger. And again, like I said, we as a family, it starts at home. I'm just sad to say that sometimes home looks different for a lot of people. Home may not look like a mom or and a dad together. We may not have that nucleus family. Home may look like grandma and both the mother and the father are away. Home may look like my mom and, you know, my grandmother raising me in the same home. For that matter, if there are odd cases out where fathers are raising their children by themselves, that father may even be living with his mother. So it may be dad and grandmother raising the child. I mean, we have a lot of equations going on, especially, and I hate to say this, but especially in the black family, we do have a lot of different equations that make up family and home for our children. But again, when there's uncles, aunts, cousins, I'm going to read a quote to you and a statistic that I pulled from another site that's going to surprise you, but it's the facts, the research is in, and hey, you know, I'm just giving you the information that you need so that we can heighten your awareness. And again, let's go forward and first talk about stranger danger. And this is the article I pulled from the Dr. Fear website. And the 1, 2, 3, it's about 7 points here that he speaks about. But the first one is remind your children that predators don't necessarily look scary or strange. A dangerous person could look like the person next door or even be someone they know. You know, that's very true because, again, I said it 2 or 3 times yesterday. We sit and movies alone. Hollywood has done their job with bringing these types of scenarios to the light, but I don't believe that we do it justice to go home and speak with our children after the fact, so that they understand it's not just movies, but it's true. And so we need to know that getting out, making sure you know who lives up the street or down the street when your children are out playing, then you need to know who's in that house, who's there at the time when your child is there. And sadly, you're going to have to be a little nosy. I generally don't support that, but I think I am now, you know, going away from, you know, this week of news and the Penn State case, you know, with the coach there. I believe that you should very much so make it your business to go out and socialize and get involved with or get to know the people down the street and around the corner in your neighborhood and know where your child goes, you know, if it's weekends, if it's after school, if the child 2 or 3 blocks away for that matter actually associates with your child in between, you know, school. You need to know if they are involved in any way with your child being in a place to where his or her guards are down when it comes to casual visiting and or just hanging out and having fun. So even the person next door, quote unquote, not just your next door neighbor, literally, but the next door neighbor in the neighborhood where that child may go to the school and or want to see or be involved with your son or daughter after school or on the weekends. You need to know what those parents look like, what they're involved in, what type of, you know, associations they're a part of. And, you know, I think it's up to you, but you've got to make the first step. And I'm sorry about what you may feel like it being nosy, but again, anyone who's standoffish and wouldn't want to share that information, especially after this week's, you know, incident, well, you're going to have to make some decisions and some judgment calls there. I don't know if you agree. I certainly would like to hear from you all. Again, this is really informational, and I've got a lot of information to share. I want to open the phone lines up. Not sure if I'm going to be able to, but I'm going to kind of sit in my seat and kind of settle in here and just give it to you as best as I can in the time frame that we have today. And this is a one-hour show, so we appreciate your listening. And, again, this is informational because I want this archive to be useful, and I want this archive to go forward when it comes to you being able to share this archive for those who could not link in live and listen to the live show. So, again, that was the first one. Remind your children that predators don't necessarily look scary or strange. It could look like the person next door or even someone they know. The second one is, it says, talk to your kids about pedophiles as soon as they can understand what you mean. Now, what does that mean, as soon as they can understand it? Well, as early as 3 to 5 is what this article says, or when they begin to interact with the world. What does that mean? They're subject to be a victim when they go to preschool even, if you have them in preschool. And preschool at the age of 3 may not look too much different than what school looks like at the age of 5 when they go to public school or private school. Think about that. You've got to know where your child is at all times. And does your child know where he or she is? Does he understand that there are strangers, but there are also people that are in his or her environment and the culture outside of your home that may not necessarily mean them well? What does a certain touch look like? What does the signs tell your child if someone does this or says this or begins to come to your child a certain way, be it getting too comfortable in your opinion? You know, where do you begin to build and shape the judgment of your child at the ages of 3 to 5 before they get out there in public school? And so with that, I know that it can be debated. All of this can be debated. But if we can teach our children, now this is me, if we can reach our children in the womb and we can teach them how to sing and we can teach them how to do musical lessons and all of this other stuff at these young ages, then surely we can teach them about sexual safety. The third thing here, it says tell your child, is the third point, it says tell your child you love them no matter what. Remind them that they can tell you anything, and you will still love them with all your heart. We were talking about this on Facebook today and yesterday. It was funny. I mean, some of my friends were saying, wow, look at how they are really putting it out there to mean, or not necessarily to mean, but to appear that the highest rate of victims were from at-risk homes. Well, isn't that interesting? That at-risk was meaning children who have less of an interaction or mentoring style around them at home, where they have the attention and the love that they need. Where's the missing father? You know, where's the missing mother for that matter? Heck, you know, any type of void in their life creates a want and a need. And if that coach, if that Boy Scout leader, if that Girl Scout leader, if that cheerleading coach, if the you know, the youth pastor at church, if the deacons at church are giving them more attention and love than you are, first of all, you can't point the finger anywhere except to you and that missing parent, because you're responsible for showing that child love no matter how far apart you are, where you live, whatever the circumstances were that you separated. I think now going forward, and again, I'm really not one for a lot of excuses. I look at things from both sides. I keep the shoe on the other foot always, which is why I do what I do in speech development and communication development, because I feel like what we miss and where we really come off the path is that there are two sides to every story. And even if there is a weakness or failure in the person who is the predator, what, you know, what makes them this way? Why do they even shape their minds to want to, you know, victimize children, go after children and groom children like this to want to have sex with a child? Guess what? Somewhere in there, that missing piece of sexual attention for them is missing. Now, we don't know whose fault that is. But guess what? It started somewhere. All you can do is take care of your own child and take care of the messages that you send your child and let them know that this is not a sign of love, but what we're showing you here at home is a sign of love. And you're going to have to do that and make it your business to take up, I feel like, an extra burden, if you will, to exemplify love to your child in whatever way necessary, okay, especially if their father or the mother, whichever one is absent. So I'm not going to beat up dads today. It's whoever is absent. Together, you're going to have to put your differences to the side and get busy. And again, you're going to have to get busy doing what you need to do. I mean, really? You've got to make sure that your children understand what it is to reach out and to love and to welcome in certain signs of love and certain expressions of love. So we're moving on. It says, don't be afraid that you're scaring your kids. I already said that. You don't want to be afraid to ask them to deal, you know, with the necessary when they're in jeopardy or when they're being compromised. You don't want to give them the adult language, it says, but you do want to speak to them in age-appropriate language and give them instructions about what to do. That's very simple, and it's very clear. So you have to empower your children, and you have to make sure that even if you have other examples of experiences, that your own examples. Some of us don't want to pull our skeletons out of the closet and the hurt that we've gone through, but if you know someone who's been raped, molested, or anything has gone on, you're going to have to share with them some I feel like some scary experiences to really let them know, no, this does happen here within your circle, within the sphere of family. Such and such had this happen to them. I don't want this to happen to you. We're going to have to be clear. We're really going to have to stop all of this, you know, shady, around the bush type of talking with our children and be very clear. But don't give them adult language. Again, we're talking about kids as early as 3 to 5, and if they're older than that, then that's good. Okay, so Dr. Phil really stresses in this article, and again, he pulls it from national advocacy websites where he gets these points from. So again, remind them that the predator does not necessarily look scary or strange. Make sure that you tell them as early as 3 to 5 years old, when they begin to interact with the outside world, that's when you need to start figuring out a creative way to talk on their level and in their language. And no matter what, you have got to begin to show them what love means. And that means if you are grandmother, aunt, whoever's raising these children, you've got to make sure that you're exemplifying love to them, and that no matter what, you love them with all your heart in the home, the four walls that they walk into and call home. And don't be afraid that you're scaring them, but you're going to have to deal with it and speak to them in their language. Last but not least, it says this. Before we go to break, it does say kids need to know that they have the right to say no, to yell, or ask for help. And a lot of that comes from feeling as if they're going to disrespect the adult or feel threatened or get any retaliation or not really know what to do and where to go. The scary feeling when you're in that type of position, I cannot imagine. But they need to know that they won't get in trouble if they were wrong. Even if they were wrong, the minute they felt compromised or in jeopardy, they need to know that you need to scream, yell, run, ask for help, and do what they need to do, because no one has the right to hurt them. So with that, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to catch my breath here, pull in my next resource. I've got both computers up and running, and we're doing what we can to get this information out to you. And we're going to go over to an old story. Not sure if you remember this story, but we're going to pick up a story that actually was released just a year or so ago. And it was interesting that a pedophile group had a Facebook page. So we're going to go there, and we're going to read that. I did pull that up. And then after that, we're going to go to the actual website that I found. I felt the most useful anyway, as far as the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, and share an article with you there about crossing the line, sexual harassment at school. So stick and stay. Give me a few minutes, and we'll be right back. Okay, thanks so much for listening. We want to appreciate everyone that's in the chat room as well as all the phone lines. Thank you all so much for the Twitter following and the dialogue over on Twitter. We appreciate the followers there on our new Twitter page, We Speak Radio, as well as our Facebook radio page, We Speak Radio Network. Things are coming along great. We're excited about the end of the year as well as the start of a new year as we enter into 2012. We have, again, opened up this radio platform now to bring in all of the, and this is me, again, all of the topics that I felt like were gaining interest. A lot of friends of mine who are going to be joining us, so I want you to keep yourself pretty close to the happenings of what we're doing in the We Speak Association. I have some friends that will be joining us as other reporters. on their own storyline as far as what they're going to be doing during the week. We're going to open up to where hopefully we'll have five-day radio. That is the goal in 2012, but we've got to get them trained and kind of get the bugs out a little bit here. But for those of you who do know that Kimberly Skeen, my sister, she came on. She'll be continuing to air her show as she gets in the saddle and kind of ride this out with me, as well as we've got some men coming in from the He Speaks side to bring some male topics. And I've got a wonderful surprise coming up in 2012 that I started working on this week with a very dear friend of mine who will be doing the Teen Speaks radio from South Carolina, one of my baby boys that I had just an interesting time with several years ago. And I am just excited about what he's doing, and he's on YouTube just blowing it up. His little channel there, his little news channel, reminds me of like a reinvented teen version of Saturday Night Live. So we're going to bring him in to start the Teen Speaks Report as well in 2012. And so he's excited about it as well. But again, thank you all so much for listening. We just came back from a quick 45-second break there. Wanted to share with you again in the second half, on the first half again. If you're just tuning in and you're listening live via Skype or the podcast, we appreciate it. And again, the archive will be available for download on a podcast. So we need you to remember, share the link. If you don't have the link, let me know. Inbox me on Facebook. Hit me on Twitter. Again, that's We Speak Radio on Twitter. Again, if you're not on social media and you need to contact me, I'm available at Shelly@SheSpeaksAssociation.com. That's Shelly@SheSpeaksAssociation.com. And we're looking forward to just really getting this information out. I believe that our churches need to make sure that, especially in their youth department and their youth services, get this stuff posted up. Make 10 minutes to share these points and these facts. Again, drfield.com. We don't have to go too far for the information. Thank God for the internet. It's here for you. We need to make sure that our Girl Scout troops, our Boy Scout troops, and the YMCAs, our parks and rec centers are doing what they need to do. And if you're the parent to make it happen, then make it happen. I mean, the ball is in our court now, and there's no excuse. You print the information out. You make sure the information gets shared wherever your kids are. And I cannot imagine that they're definitely sharing it in schools and in classrooms. And if they're not, check and see. Is the PTA talking about it? You know, taking 10 minutes to pull an article from a supported, I feel like a reputable resource, then we need to make sure that it's getting out there. We're doing ourselves a disservice. And I posted earlier on Facebook that the Bible states, and we know it to be proven, people perish due to a lack of knowledge. And, you know, the sad saying used to go, and it's kind of just a little, I feel like a to our detriment as people of color. They say if you want to get something past them, you put it in writing. If you want to get something done and don't want their involvement in it, you put it in writing. They're not going to read it. Well, there you have it. Here we are. I'm giving you the information. I'm giving you the resource. So let's get it on and let's do our part. Let's be empowered with knowledge, and then let's apply it. It's not the information. It's not the knowledge, but it's what you do with it. And when you do something about it, then I believe you made an impact. So we're going to get to it, and I was telling you that I had pulled an old article up from September 2010. It was an exclusive article that was found on FoxNews.com, of course, from the publicity of the story, where pedophiles had found a home on Facebook. Pedophiles actually created a group, and the acronym NAMBLA, N-A-M-B-L-A, NAMBLA, they actually opened up a Facebook page. Did you know that? I remember hearing about it, but again, I think I was really doing a lot of my association marketing, and I wasn't paying attention to the news. And believe it or not, I'm not a news watcher. I'm not even a television watcher. And I have been spending more time this past week because of this hitting home for me, was very sensitive to me. And I have been watching news, and when I pulled this article up, it blew me away. And I could not believe it, but people were saying, well, why didn't Facebook stop it? Or what was happening? Well, Facebook stopped the actual pictures, because they will block any type of offensive pictures. However, it was just a matter that they had come out in such a and this is, again, what was stated in the article, that they had come out with so many hundreds of links that routed back to the NAMBLA website on Facebook, and it actually had more than half a billion, I said a half billion users worldwide, and posts on known pedophile blogs and chat rooms showed an organized effort by the pedophiles to use the social networking site to prey on children. And this is a quote from the article. Fox News had did the research. They went on Facebook. They typed it in, and they had actually came out in force, a widespread effort to get a presence out there in social media. And again, it goes right back to what we were saying yesterday, that last article that I read, keeping safety on the Internet with your children at home. You don't have to be afraid of the Internet, but there are safety precautions that you can take, that if you're not swift on a computer, you need to ask someone to help you get your computer locked down, and as well do the very, I feel like, the smallest effort that you can take. Go over and monitor your children every now and again, and if they jump up, close a page, or walk away, or seem suspicious, when you're coming to that computer asking questions, then you need to be worried and concerned. And so with that, this really interested me, and I was blown away probably as much as the people were, here it is in 2010 when this came out, but it just, to me, took something that I felt like was a matter of people not understanding what they needed to do in order to make sure they were aware and conscious of their child's use. It wouldn't matter if the children were, I mean, if the organization was out there, but what are your children doing in order to get connected to this Facebook page? You know, whatever tricks they were using to actually hone its members in and identify them, then what were you doing at home to track their Facebook use? And then the children are lying. If your child's not 18, they don't need to be on Facebook anyway. And I know plenty of friends who have their children out there, and you know, and then allow them to have a page. But you need to monitor that use. And so with that, that was really interesting. That article kind of blew me away. And, again, that was from FoxNews.com, and it was a September 2010 article that was concerning. It says, pedophiles find home social networking Facebook. And this was the article that was at length, again, concerning how they got out there, what was happening, the efforts that they were making as far as really trying to be a widespread organization by way of social media. And so with that, I want to go over to this article where I picked it up. Again, it is the, let's go here. National Sexual Violence Resource Center, and they did a report on crossing the line, sexual harassment at school. And the summary of this here, the introduction says, I'm going to read to you some of the parts of the executive summary, but the report from the American Association of University Women presents the most comprehensive research to date on sexual harassment in grades 7 to 12. There are some sobering statistics about the prevalence of sexual harassment and the negative impact it has on a student's education. Now, let me say this. I think you know, which is sad again, and I did even hear it today, as Wolf Blitzer was covering it in the Situation Room. And again, let me say this, and I know, again, I say this is going to be an informational show, but if you're on the line and you have comments, those in the chat room, thank you so much. I see a guest logged in there. If you're in the chat room and you have comments, I'm going to dare try to take a comment or a question. Please press 1 on your keypad, and I'll be sure to try to pick you up and bring you in. If we can keep the comments to 3 minutes or so, that'd be great. But with this, again, I need you to know that this information is documented information that you can pick up, share, and move forward in doing more research on the website, and I would behoove you to do so, okay? But this executive summary here, and it says, a student is groped on the way to class, and it's just some few quotes that they pulled together, but the kids call a student gay and faggot, and they just won't quit. A demeaning sexual rumor about a student will go viral in cyberspace. Sexual harassment has long been an unfortunate part of the climate in middle and high schools in the United States, often considered a kind of bullying. Sexual harassment, by definition, involves sex and gender and therefore warrants separate attention. The legal definition of sexual harassment also differentiates it from bullying. Now, we're shifting gears here a little bit, so let me say this. Number one, listening to Wolf Blitzer today, I heard that in Pennsylvania, one of the reasons that the conflict is being created now about, you know, did Coach Paterno tell it? If he did, why didn't he call the police and so forth first? They were saying that in Pennsylvania, not reporting a sexual offense against a child is not even, it doesn't even come up to a crime legally as far as their statutes and their law is concerned. So if that's the case in Pennsylvania and every state you live in, wherever you are, no matter what, where you are listening to this archive or live show, and again, my Twitter friends are listening and my Facebook friends are listening as well, it does not matter where you are. You need to know the rules. If not reporting a sexual offense, be it by a child or adult, whatever, and again, we talked about it yesterday. You have to remember, we even have now, in this day and age, homosexual violent crimes against people. You need to know what your state limitations and statutes are. What does the law say in your state? Because as we stated yesterday, and I had 11 comments on a Facebook thread, when you tell, who you tell, how long is long enough before they actually do something about it? This is serious. I mean, I'm so blown away by what I'm learning, and I hope you're being compelled to learn more and dig this out more. But you better know what's going on in your state. And so with that, you come to the age of the child that makes a difference. As I said, we're shifting gears. So 3 to 5 years old, the Dr. Phil article concerning stranger danger, it says you want to start talking to your child about it. Well, we know anything between that 16 and 18 years of age starts a whole legal battle about whether they're minors and or mature enough to really know, meaning consenting, adults, 18, 21, 21 in some states. I mean, come on. The point is, if you're a mother, would you want your child who's living under your roof involved in some type of victimized situation and not be able to do anything about it and or trying to sit in front of a jury, no less, figuring out if they're consenting or not? No, you need to know if they're consenting. That's why you need to talk to your children. And so with that, this article was discussing grades 7 to 12. Again, a 12th grader can be 17 years old, but a 12th grader can also be 18 years old. But how old do you think is enough? I mean, where you draw the line where enough is enough? If they're in the seventh grade, what are you going to do about that? You know, you need to know what the effects of any type of sexual harassment, sexual assault, or violent crimes, where you stand on them and where your family stands on them. And so with that, there was this article that went on, the same article again. This is from National Sexual Violence Resource Center, and the report came from the American Association of University Women, and it went on to say that the 7th to 12th grade report that they did was based on a national representative survey of 1,965 students between May and June of 2011. That was just this year, and that's why I pulled this, because it was a recent article. And it goes on to say that this is clear evidence that harassment, being harassed, harassing someone else, or witnessing harassment is a matter of everyday school life. And these were their opinions on it. So just a part of the school day was one of the segments that they talked about it. And, again, they were really making this a driven home fact that it's every day. Nearly half, 48% of the students, again, it was 1,965 students that were surveyed. 48% of those students have had or experienced some sort or some form of sexual harassment in the 2010-2011 school year. And a majority of those students, 87%, said it had a negative effect on them, whether it was verbal harassment. Of course, we already know verbal harassment could range from just jokes, unwelcome sexual comments, or gestures, or a lot of it was physical harassment that was, of course, far too common, be it by text, email, Facebook, or any other electronic means. And that was 30% of the students even reporting that it was by way of social media. Now, the prevalence of sexual harassment in grades 7 through 12 comes as a surprise because it is rarely reported. Well, isn't that what we're talking about today? That whole Penn State case with Joe Paterno talking about the reporting issue. Okay, good grief, but the state itself does not deem it a crime at all if you fail. So whether it was Joe Pa, whether it was the grad student, and he was 28 at the time, and to this day he's still the assistant coach who just recently got ousted now, thank God, from the heat of not being able to stand on that field, that sideline, because, again, whoever failed to report it should have been ousted until further investigation with whatever they come to as a final decision. Yes, that might have been the case for the university and what we, the people, expect, but the state does not deem it a crime. So why fire them? What happened? Are you going to rule under the policies of the school, or are you going to rule under the policies of the state? This is going to be interesting, and I'm going to enjoy watching this come to light as they move forward in their decisions. And, again, so the prevalence of this sexual harassment in grades 7 to 12 is rarely reported. And it says, among the students who were sexually harassed, about 9% reported the incident to a teacher, guidance counselor, or other adult at the school. 12% of them were girls, and 5% were boys. And then the other 27%, just one quarter of that, that 27% of the students said they talked about it with parents or family members, which includes their siblings, meaning their older brothers or sisters. And then 23% spoke with friends. Well, there we go. We're outside of the home. We're outside of the home. We already was discussing the fact that if you can't talk to your child, you need to make it your business to figure out how to talk to your child now going forward. Throw the excuses out. You need to make sure that you're doing your part. Start the conversation. Join the dialogue with the rest of the world that I'm sure is now in shock with the whole Penn State situation with the coach. You need to start the dialogue because going forward, you have no excuse about what your child will hear and or what they will come home and share because they're not sure if you're going to listen or if you're going to get upset with them. 23% of these children spoke with their friends. So, funny enough, and it goes on, and this is a wealth of information in this report. It even went into, and I want to share this, not just it talked about the sexual harassment negatively affects girls, a vicious cycle. And I think that's where we wanted to go here. It says a vicious cycle. And, again, if you want to share your comments on this report, press 1 on your dial pad. I see the lines are there. And if you're just listening, I appreciate your support. But I want you to press 1 if you have something to say, and I'm going to try to bring you in because I'm going to take another quick break and then pull one last article up and take your calls in the last half of the show because I'm going to have to catch my breath here in a second. But harassers come, and again, this is the vicious cycle segment of this executive summary. It says harassers come in all shapes and sizes. Nearly all the behavior documented in the survey was peer-to-peer sexual harassment. Now, of course, we're talking about where, you know, the coach at the school he was already gone from the school in particular, this most recent side of the, I guess, the latest incidents that are alleged right now. But there was an older case that came up, and I believe it was back in 1998 and 2002, and they were talking about even when that first case actually got reported, or the first instance was witnessed, they were talking about what was happening right then. Well, at this point, we need to make sure that we understand the dynamic of any type of sexual harassment or sexual assault that might take place with our children. So in this report in particular, it was peer-to-peer. Is it okay? No, it's not okay if it's peer-to-peer, and oh, it's just boy liking girl, and they're just experimenting. And I mean, we throw so much stuff out the window and justify it and chalk it up to something else other than just sheer lack of discipline and lack of communication with our children. And so in here it says, boys were more likely than girls to say they sexually harassed other students. The boys were more likely to say it. Most students who admitted to sexually harassing another student were also the target of sexual harassment themselves. And that was 92% of girls, 80% of boys. And I said that earlier. Those who are predators, I don't care if they're 16-year-olds messing with 10-year-olds or 13-year-olds. It starts because they've been harassed or victimized themselves, and we have got to figure out how to stop this or get some type of control over those in our own home, especially if you have a large family. You have to make sure that your boys are being taught as well as the girls. And I know we're harder sometimes on our girls, and we just let our boys be boys, but we have got to come all the way around the circle, around the table, and talk about this and cover it. I feel like equally make it our business to say what we need to say. And so it was almost one-third of students who experienced sexual harassment of any type that also identified themselves as harassers. So it was a two-sided thing for them. And only 5% of students who had never experienced sexual harassment identified themselves as harassers. So it was only just 5% of them who never had any sexual harassment at all, but they did say that they themselves had been a harasser to other students. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to catch my breath here, and I'm going to be back with you again. If you're on the phone lines, thank you so much. I see a guest logged in. I haven't really been able to get in there and chat, but if you're on the phone lines, press 1. If you're on my Twitter, keep tweeting in on the dialogue. I need to check in there. So we're going to take about a one-minute break real quick and take the last half of the show to share some tweets with you and to check on some other social media dialogue that's going on today on the topic, are your children being groomed? And if so, what are the signs and what do you need to look for concerning that? Okay, stand by. Thank you for listening. Okay, we're back. Thank you so much for listening. This is the We Speak Radio Network, and we're excited about just sharing some information, empowering you as our listeners and our supporters. Our friends have been so overwhelmingly participating in the conversations on all forms and platforms of social media. Again, we're on Twitter. You can continue to talk about this after the show is over. We've got just a few minutes left, and I'm going to share just one other piece of information with you, and then I'm going to review the websites for the ones I've shared with you where you can go yourself and be empowered to dig more and do what you need to do to create your own line of communication. Sit out and create whatever you need to create to say, hey, this is what I need to speak with my children and get my family involved with making sure that we are aware of what needs to happen in our homes where our children are equipped to know their safety tools, the warnings, and the signs of being protected against those sexual predators out there. Over on Twitter, Jeff Johnson, who, of course, we all know him from BET in the past, but he is now a reporter for the MSNBC, he is saying that he on Twitter that he appreciates the way Governor Corbett is handling this Penn State issue and to learn how much he did behind the scenes to bring justice. And I believe a lot of that is very key in this investigation as they go forward. But let's look at this last piece of information, and again, just some facts that I pulled, and it's the data that I was actually looking at over from yesterday's comments that we were talking about, even in the church and our political arena, how much we allow them to stay into positions, but we're not holding them to as much of a fire, if you will, or their feet to the fire when it comes to certain abuses on our children. But I went over to the Catholic website, one of the forums there, and in a blog I found that it says in 2001, clinical child psychologist Wade F. Horn, he reported on the work of researchers at Johns Hopkins University School of Public Health. Now, what he found is that nearly 20% of low-income women recruited through family planning and their OBGYN clinics had experienced child sexual abuse. The first thing I thought of, I'm telling you what, look, audience, the story that Tyler Perry wrote for, he didn't write it, he actually just got it on Hollywood and to the big screen, but the way he portrayed it in the movie as far as Precious was concerned, this is what's driving me even the more, and I have some friends that are authors that tell their own stories of molestation and rape and incest that have taken apart, I feel like taking their families apart, even as children, where they have written books that heal. And, again, one of my very dear girlfriends has a story that is beyond what you saw on the screen of Precious. And when I saw this report that it said 20% of low-income women, that was the first thing I thought about was the movie Precious. So, again, it says that he summarized the findings on poor women as follows. Family, friends, and acquaintances composed the largest group of perpetrators, 28%, followed by such relatives as uncles, cousins, that's 18%, stepfathers was 12%, male siblings, of course, we know Monique, she came out last year talking about her brother, where just time and time again for years where she had been in a position to where, you know, the victim, to be a victim in her own home by her own brother was something that she had to finally get out. And again, here we go. It was just like she told it and that was it, you know, but what did we do about it since then? That's 10% of poor women that were in this study, and that was from the actual sibling, the male sibling in the house. Biological fathers was 10%, boyfriends of the child's mother, 9%, grandfathers and step-grandfathers, 7%, and strangers, complete strangers, 4%. And in here, the child psychologist, Wade Horn, says, I was struck by the fact that 10% were biological fathers and only 4% were strangers, which means 86% of the perpetrators were known to the family but were someone other than the child's father. That says it all. That says it all, and it brings me back to where I opened up. Stranger danger is not necessarily a stranger, but it's the one who's known in the home. And sadly, we are not doing, and I mean, there we don't even have to talk about the movies that have come out, and I mean, seriously, it is seen so much, but I'm not sure why now that we have the information, we have resources, we have protective agencies that can assist us, why we fail to come out into a place of, I feel like, just totally blasting it, because I don't think it needs to be handled too carefully. But, of course, you have people's reputations on the line when you're talking about university officials. But in your own family, I don't care if it means not going to family reunions anymore. I don't care if it means never seeing your cousins or your brothers anymore, your aunts and your sisters. If there has been any type of victimization going on in your family, and especially families of color, come on, we can talk about this, and that's a whole other show. We need to stand up and say something about it and put this stuff out here so that our children can be protected, because it's when we send our children to grandma's house or to auntie's house, and sadly our sisters have boyfriends that come into the home, stepchildren, foster parenting is out the window now. People do it just for the money. So here you're bringing in other people that are stepchildren, foster children, and they're all growing up in the same home. I'm sorry, but you need to know what's going on with your children when they're away from you. You need to know what's going on with your children when they're in your home. So, again, I'm going to close this show out. I appreciate the support. My goodness, the lines have been overwhelming. I'm looking at you all listening, and I appreciate it. Facebook and Twitter followers, you know I love you. Again, this link is going to be out there. If you need me to send this link to you via email, the Blog Talk Radio link, if you need me to send it to you via email so that you can do the simplest of keeping up with the websites that we've gone to. And, again, in review, we went to drfield.com. Go to his tab that says Dr. Field's Advice. Click on that tab and go to Parenting, and you will see all the articles that I was telling you about. There is a search bar there. Again, the website story from FoxNews.com where it talked about the pedophile group having a Facebook page, that was on FoxNews.com, and the abbreviation to that group was N as in Nancy, A as in Apple, M as in Mary, B as in Boy, L as in Larry, and A as in Apple, NAMBLA. That report, again, that was old, from September 28th in 2010, but you need to know who they are. You need to be familiar with it. And then as well, we were on the National Sexual Violence Resource Center website, and that was a report from the American Association of University Women, that report that I read to you that just took place this year when they released it. And the name of that report is Crossing the Line, Sexual Harassment in Our Schools. So, again, empower yourselves. Make sure you open up and create a line of communication with your children. Do what you need to do to make sure that your schools, your Girl Scouts, your Boy Scouts, your cheerleading teams, your track teams are addressing this situation. And, again, do what you need to do to make it known. Speak your mind, speak your peace in your home, and let your children know that you love them, and make sure that your lines of communication are open, because in the end, if it's not, they're going to talk to someone else. They're going to talk to somebody else outside of the home because they may be afraid to talk to you, and we don't need that to happen. Again, thanks for listening. Happy Veterans Day, and I appreciate your support. We'll be back next week. You all stay tuned, and I'm excited about the new things we're doing in 2012. Take care, and we'll see you next week, next Friday, if not earlier. And all our shows will be posted. I'll be texting people out with the information and the updates if you're not on social media. Thanks so much, and have a great weekend. And, again, if you're out and about and you need any information, if you're not on social media and you need to keep up with what we're doing, email me or text me, and I'll be glad to do so. Again, my email is Shelly@SheSpeaksAssociation.com. Take care, and thanks for listening. We speak.